What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since the colour blue. And you're listening to the Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I welcome Kathy Sanderson about healing through nature and the community. Kathy, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey Gavin, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show. This is interesting. I like this community, nature healing. Tell us a bit about your background before we start. I think that'd be a good place to, initiate the discussion,
Until 10 years ago, I thought that there was no alternatives to anything. And I was a very good girl and would have everything that was offered to me, I would take. And then about 10 years ago, 9 years ago, my son's 10, about 9 years ago, I had a Reiki healing, a massage, but they did Reiki. And I started to see colours. And I was like, ooh, this is nice. And I told her, and she's like, oh, yeah, that relates to that chakra and everything. So I was like, oh, well, my son's going to start nursery soon, so maybe I could go and learn it. So I went to learn Reiki. One of the first things that the Reiki master said to me when she found out I was a type 1 diabetic is like, well, why don't you think that can be healed? Do you think everything else can be healed? So why not that? And I was like, because my doctor told me. The very first thing he told me when I was 12, that. And she's like, oh, well. So it led me on this quest. And in that quest, I'm still diabetic, still type 1 diabetic. However, I'm nearly 50. I got diabetes when I was 12. I have very good control. I haven't got any complications. So I do credit with some of the stuff I'm doing to being in that fortunate situation, because a lot of people my age who've been diabetic same length of time as me from age 12 have got a lot of health complications. So I'm very grateful for this journey it's took me on. However, I have I've found out a lot about looking within, about looking at childhood, things that happened to me in my childhood, which would not have been a kind of thing which a social worker would have taken you out of your home, but they still influenced me and my decisions and my thoughts about who I was, who people are around me, what the world's like. So I trained as I'm an energy healer, I'm an inner child healer, I can read your Akashic records and things like that. But my passion is inner child.
Nice. So you've been through a bit. You know, Reiki, I'm sure I've had someone on the show before talk about Reiki and its use, how beneficial it is. And it's come up, and people have mentioned it a few times. So obviously, you know, there's definitely some elements of mental well-being with that, you know.
I think Reiki is an absolutely brilliant way to have an introduction into different energy, a different way, a different healing way. Because they label energy healing as Reiki, and people go and learn it, and then some people absolutely love it and they go 1, 2, 3, 4, become Reiki master, teach others, and other people it opens other avenues because you've started to channel energy and you find that, well, actually I'm more suited to this way or that way. And in that respect, the workshops that we offer at our gatherings enable people to see a whole host of different modalities, because not everything suits or resonates with the same person. So they have an opportunity of a workshop which lasts for 2 hours and they get to experience something different. So I think Reiki is absolutely brilliant as a healing modality, but also an introduction to people into some, maybe there's another way.
Yeah, and absolutely, absolutely. Tell us about what makes your events different from other wellness retreats, and talk to us a bit about it as well.
So these began, I never ever planned to do this. My husband just wanted to retire at 40 and move to Wales. So we just, it was at the end of lockdown in the summer of 21, and the house sale had gone through. And I just had this inspirational thing. Why don't we put something on where people can come and hug? Because while we was in that caravan park waiting for our sale to go through, because Wales didn't have that huge stamp duty freeze and then rush.
Oh, didn't it?
They didn't. So we had somebody buy our house who said, well, it's got to be through in these 2 months. So I made sure it was. But of course, they had no rush here. And of course, it was a huge chain. So we went to stay in a caravan park for a little bit. And everyone jumped out your way. And there was 2 metre signs. You know, you go to the bar, but there'd be a huge thing. And we were a home ed community. We were used to just being in our own little bubble, really. But going and seeing this really reinforced how much effect it was having on other people. So I said to my husband, let's put something on where everyone can just come and hug. And, you know, because we've got all this land, we can camp. And I contacted some friends who have run my workshops in Birmingham, because that's where I'm from. You heard my little twang then, didn't you, Birmingham? So they did. And 46 people I had never met through Facebook came and spent that weekend with us. And it was amazing. I remember seeing like all of the cars and the camper vans coming down the lane, and like everyone just being around, everyone being so happy and being able to hug people, because people went, woo, don't hug me, don't elbow them. And it was magical. And they all said, you need to keep doing this. So I gave my husband 7 weeks to turn 2 sheep fields. into a place where we could stay, and he did amazingly. He learned how, he's a builder, but he learned how to make compost toilets and to level the land and make it all so that we could camp there. So what makes our gatherings different is they've got a kind of festival feel, but they are small. So we got really very popular in 22 because there was nothing else open and there was nothing else going on at that time. And we had about 3 different workshops running at the same time, and we had a lot of people come. And I was thinking today, because I was talking to a lady I met there, but I didn't get time to speak to her, to get to know her. And she's a really good friend now, and we run herbal remedies workshops together. But I didn't get a chance to talk to most of the people that came because everybody, it was so fast, boom, 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 like whole of life is. So I'm grateful that I went within and I took that decision to go smaller. So we only have 1 workshop, which takes away that having to make a choice option. So 1 workshop every 3 hours. Because people go, oh my God, I really want to go to that one, but I really want to go to that one, and then I want to go to that one. And like, how am I going to make that choice? So I'm like, I'm supposed to be creating an environment here where people can relax, and I'm putting extra pressure on them. So we just put it back to one workshop, and it gives people the opportunity then in that workshop to get to know each other, because there's nothing more powerful. It's so easy to judge people, isn't it, when you don't know about them? But once you start to know people's story, you sort of, it's very bad, but we do. We suddenly have that compassion, don't we, that we should have had when we met them. So it enables everybody to become that family. And that's really what people's missing. So I think what makes us different is that we are able in that weekend to create a community that doesn't just go away. People stay in touch. I love seeing that people are still talking to each other on Facebook, still supporting each other, going and seeing each other, going to other festivals and stuff. I think that's what makes us different.
I think it's brilliant that you turn, I was talking about this in my last show, how people turn like negatives into something positive, because, you know, by you having to, yourself and your partner having to stay in the caravan for that period, it might not have never happened, basically. Do you see what I mean? And it's just, it's unbelievable how, and it's quite innovative as well, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? How, you know, you're thinking of the concept of what you do. So I think it's great. Where at the moment do you tend to hold these events?
So we're very blessed. We've got 25 acres of our own beautiful land on top of this mountain.
Oh, that sounds like heaven.
Oh, it is. And, you know, I was saying to people this morning, you can't stay depressed. You can't stay down in the dumps, because all you have to do is look out and you'll see like a bird hopping about or a rabbit hopping or something, you know, and instantly that lifts your spirits. So very, very blessed. We've got ancient woodland and we have ancient meadowland. So we've got such a huge variety of plants and flowers and trees. Very, very blessed.
Do people camp around your area where you are?
Yes. Yeah, so we've got a huge sort of like area we use as our back garden. And then we've got two fields that people can use. So in Wales, they didn't extend that pop-up camping license thing. So we have 28 days where we can hold events, but we have just put in planning permission so that we can become a camping and glamping site, so that we can have a business where people can come and camp in general and come and enjoy the beautiful land where we are, but also still continue to run these community camping events, which are extremely well priced. Children 16 and under are free. Because, and I think that's another thing that sets us apart, because most places are 12 and over, then you start paying. But my kids aren't earning at 12, over 12, and I doubt they'll still be doing it over 16. So it enables them parents to come without that prohibitive thing of having to pay places for children. So it will enable us to keep doing what we're doing and still earn a living.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. I think the camping site is a really good idea as well. You know? And do your events take place throughout the year, or is it like a seasonal thing? Or?
Well, currently it's seasonal, obviously, because we live in Wales. And it's too cold. It doesn't start becoming warm enough to camp until the end of April. So we start our first gathering, the April gathering, at the end of April, and then we continue to the end of summer, which is the end of September, and we have our last gathering then, and we have all our retreats, all of our workshops and events in that time period. We can do things which are allowed to be a bit colder but not camping, so like our Organite workshop, which is on the 2nd of November, and drum birthing can be a little bit cooler because it stops the hides drying out. Because we had some glorious weather, didn't we, in April? And we were all lying there under the sun with our hides making our drums and they dried out. You know, you're like, what, in April? That's weird. So, yeah, we can do those types of things. But if we get planning permission, it would mean that we can continue this service of community and bringing people together and connectedness so that we can do it in those colder months. And let's be honest, that's when people get seasonal affective disorder and everything, isn't it? And they do need that connection.
That's right, absolutely. SAD is horrible, you know. I've spoken to people that have experienced it, but also I think a lot of us have experienced it, to be honest with you. We just don't maybe talk about it. But I've done a few shows on SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And the thing is, what people think is just winter, but you can actually get it in summer as well. Did you know that? Yeah.
Wow.
It can happen to people in summer. And it's quite common. I think, I've spoken to a few people about that, and also people in the field, specialist field, they're well aware of SAD occurring in summer as well. I know you don't think it, but unfortunately for some people, it can be that way. We'll just go to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, Kathy, thank you for the introduction into what you do. What inspired you to create herbal balms and mushroom tinctures, and how do you use them in your work?
So my herbal balm came out from... There's a lovely story to it, really, because I couldn't help but notice all these plants around me. So I started to find out. And of course, on Facebook, there's a plethora of groups that you can go to and learn at. But I kept being called to make a balm. And I had the most amazing neighbour who passed away nearly 2 years ago now. And she was the first one to welcome us to our little village. She loved what we were doing, and she would come to the gatherings and she'd come on our foraging walks and stuff. And I noticed that she had scratches or scabs on the back of her ankles and the back of her knees. And I'm like, oh my God, what's happened to you? And she's like, oh, that's why I hate wearing anything shorter. I like wearing ankle things so no one can see. But she got really bad psoriasis. So I was like, well, I keep seeing this balm I want to make, so I'm going to make it. So I made it for her and I gave it to her. And the difference it made within 2 weeks for her was remarkable. She loved sending me pictures. Look at it, you know. And then she started using it for everything and telling me. She's like telling everyone, Kathy's magic balm. So Nettie was the inspiration for that. And God love her, she's no longer with us anymore. But it enabled me to know that actually you can use it for anything. And the reason for that is because my intention behind it is that you can use it for anything. So there's so many different things that you can make from different flowers and plants and stuff. But I've got a bit lazy because my balm does it all. And then I found out about, we've got turkey tail grown on our land. So I found out how to make turkey tail tinctures. And it's lovely that I'm using something grown on our land, that has the magic of our land, and is actually, I'm able to create something that people find really beneficial. So I then found out about lion's mane, and I realised that I could grow it in a little kit. So I started to grow lion's mane and then making tinctures out of that. And I would use it with my son. So my son is not diagnosed, but I've been with enough people and we've been in enough groups to know that he has ADHD tendencies and PDA tendencies. So I started using it. And I noticed within a week that if I asked him to do something, he wouldn't immediately throw something down and have a little tantrum, whatever. That's not a very good word, is it? But, you know, he wouldn't have this episode and he'd just go and do it. I was like, oh my God, this is weird. But we just continued to monitor it. And then we were very fortunate. We'd saved enough money to go and travel around Thailand. Backpacking. So we took the children backpacking in February for a month. And I was very silly and I said to my husband, do you think we need to take the tinctures or do you think the sun will be enough? And I'm like, oh, the sun will be enough. But it wasn't. So I noticed that my son, Albert, he was banging his hand against his head while about 2-3 days after we'd left. And he couldn't focus on things and things were getting complicated for him emotionally. And he was like, oh, no, the lion's mane. So we realised how well it was working. And then I spent the whole of that trip trying to find some organic lion's mane that I could get to use as a tincture because I didn't know what I'd be buying online. So I managed to find some in Pai. And I love Pai. Pai in Thailand was just amazing. These tinctures now, I also do reishi and matake, cordyceps, and I make a menopause blend. And the menopause blend is because my friend asked me, she says, can you make this for me? And I'm like, well, I've started to make tinctures of these because I want to make a diabetes blend. Because if you remember, diabetes brought me into this. This is what I'm always searching for. So I'll put it together. So she's trying it. She tried it and it works great. It gets rid of the hot flushes. It helps people balance people's hormones. It helps them to get rid of their brain fog. It can stop them as well feeling so anxious, depressed. Some people even feel suicidal, don't they? There's all of these things that go around menopause. So yeah, we like that. So now I, instead of growing it in a little box, because I need to make so much of it, we've actually started to grow it ourselves. And we're in the process of setting up a little mushroom grow room, which is very exciting. And it means my husband gets involved as well. So that's cute.
That's brilliant. I've done a few shows on menopause and it's awful, to be quite honest. I know people go through different symptoms and severities, but from what I've heard, from the people I've interviewed, it's quite horrific, really. I don't know if there's enough awareness on it. I don't know. It's only when I started doing the shows around menopause I was learning. I've always known about it, but the actual how actually serious it is, I don't think there's enough awareness for that because it really does interfere with people's lives badly. And so when you say people can be suicidal from it, from what I've heard, I can believe that. You know, and also it can affect sleep very badly, which is awful. I think people underestimate the power of sleep because if you're not sleeping properly, it can significantly affect your lifespan, and it can affect your normal daily mood, your quality of life, your focus level, and all those kind of things. So it's nice to hear that you know you're doing something also to try and help in the area of. With the menopause as well, you know?
Did you know it was National Menopause Day a few days ago? I think it was Monday or Tuesday. So Facebook, my feed was flooded. But this, I had a gentleman, I've got quite a big following on Facebook, and people come and ask me questions. But I had a gentleman contact me and he was telling me about his girlfriend And what he was describing, because I'd found out all about menopause, because, you know, I have to know about it to be able to help people. I'm like, oh, so do you think is she in a menopause? I don't know that. So he put me back in touch with her, and she was talking to me and what she was telling me. And I'm like, explained about menopause. She says, oh, yes, I think I might be perimenopause. So she's agreed to have she starts having the tinctures, and she says, I don't get those drops in my mood or things like that. So, yeah, it needs a lot of awareness as well. But I think sometimes menopause symptoms are bundled up all as one, and we need to look at toxicity, body toxicity, environmental toxicity, mental toxicity, because it all culminates around that time. You know, like they talk about the middle age spread and the man's middle age crisis and all of those types of things. But I think women take on a lot more emotionally. They, you know, you could be on the pill from the age of 14 if you've got heavy periods, or from age 13, 12. So there's a huge toxic overload. And I think when you get to the age of 40 and 50, your body's like, well, how much more can I have? So I think that there needs to be a look at the crossover with that as well.
Absolutely. How do your gatherings contribute to the well-being of the community, do you think?
So much. I get, obviously because of what we're doing, we get a lot of people who have, who feel lost, who feel that there's no support, who haven't got the support of their family. And obviously, because of what happened in lockdown and people's beliefs, it created more of a rift and people lost friendships and those types of things. So to come to an event, a gathering like we put on, where you're guaranteed a smile, you're guaranteed a hug if you like one, when as soon as you arrive after that long 2, 3, 4, 5, we have people who come from the Isle of Wight who love what we do. You know, they travel that far, because there's no one who does very similar to what we do. So I know someone's name. That's one thing I'm really, really... Everyone goes, you know everyone's name? And I'm going, well, yeah, of course I do. Because how can you feel part of something if someone doesn't know your name? If you've spent all of your life feeling ignored, that you don't matter, that you're not wanted, then all I'm going to do is reinforce that by not being able to remember your name. So because they're only small gatherings, I make it a point of being able to remember people's names. And that hug, sometimes that's all people need, and then they start crying because they're like, oh, my God, I'm finally here. But I've been having this thinking recently that the workshops that we put on, although they are amazing, and the people who support us and come and run those are fantastic, I don't think they're the big thing. I think the thing is of being together in a community, knowing you can go up to anybody and talk, and you're all on the same wavelength, and no one's going to think you're crazy, no one's going to think you're mad. They're all going to have been through similar kind of things. We get addicts come, we get people who've been through horrific relationship problems and domestic violence and all of those things. We get parents whose kids have tremendous special needs, SEN, and no one seems to understand it. And I love listening to the conversations. I love walking around and seeing how people are just naturally finding friendships. There's something magical about sitting around the fire and drumming and talking and singing and just being there. Sometimes there's no drumming and no singing and people are just talking, or we've got some marshmallows and we're toasting them. You know, there isn't enough of it. Once upon a time there was, and now the whole village, the whole community thing is just... Most people don't know their neighbours, do they?
You're right. Sometimes I go in the community and people have told me, they told me about the 60s, the 70s and the 80s, and how people used to know who people were down the road. you could keep your door open or unlocked. Everybody knew each other, and that completely changed going into the 90s and the 2000s onwards, because and things became more dangerous as well, you know. So, and it's a shame, and it sounds like what you do kind of brings back a bit of, you know, people knowing each other, get, you know, neighbors and all that kind of thing, you know.
And what we do, we do payment plans. So even if you want to just come to like one event, it's £120 for that weekend. However, if you pay £10 a month over the year, you can come to that event, and really you don't miss £10 a month, do you? So it makes it affordable for everyone. And if you come in your tent, you don't pay any extra. So, you know, you just come and camp. But if you come in your camper van as well, there's no extra charge. I know some places charge £50 extra, but we're fortunate. We're a small, all our gatherings are small, and we've got a lot of land. So why would we charge you extra? And by being able to make it as accessible as we can, it means that we can reach the people that we do. And we do give away free tickets too. We do free draws and things, because that allows people who are, especially if you're anxious and nervous, you know, you're like, I'd love to come, you know. If you've given a free ticket, it kind of makes you feel like you have to go.
Yeah.
And then they get there and they love it and they're like, oh my God, I need to keep coming. And they will try to come as much during that time. But like I say, April to September, what's that, 6 months? It's a lot to fit in those 6 months, just because of the summer thing. But then everyone goes back to their cave, don't they? And they sit in front of their fire and they don't want to move.
Absolutely. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
The station that makes you feel good.
Kathy, share with us some success stories or memorable moments from the retreats.
Oh, we've had so many. I love hearing from people how they continue to be friends, because that's what it's all about. It's about me being a facilitator of bringing people together so that they can find those friendships. And I'm not going to lie, it brings me a lot of friendships. It brings most amazing people into my life. But people like who would never have met up, and they live really quite local. So there's two ladies who are quite local, as in like an hour away. And I love watching them on Facebook. They would never have met, and they go out in their vans and they go and tour and they go to places, and they've got the most beautiful friendships. There's another lady who comes with her child, and she's found a community which is accepting, and she's got friendships from it. She was escaping a very controlling, very domineering, very violent ex who, despite not being together for 10 years, still controlled her life and still was taking her to court. And people get to that point where they've just got nowhere else to go. But not physically nowhere else to go, but mentally nowhere else to go. You know, like, what else can I do? What else can I try? And she comes, and her child comes, and the child has fun and feels accepted, and she has fun and feels accepted. We had a lady who won a ticket. Like I was saying about winning tickets, it's a very powerful thing. And she travelled all the way from Lincoln, three train journeys, carrying a tent. And I'd go and pick her up from the train station. I don't charge people to go and pick them up because we don't have a bus that goes past because we're in the Welsh mountains. But if they can get as close as they can on public transport, I'll go and pick them up. I don't care. And she was stuck in her home, trying to set up her little business, feeling alone, feeling like she was going mad, all of these things and thoughts that she had about changing her life, but not. You get to a point, don't you, where you think, is this it? Surely there has to be another way. But she didn't know how to do any more of it. So I've watched her, and she came to nearly everything that she could that year. And I've seen her, and she's setting up a business, and she's moved home, and she is so much more confident. She's like a little powerhouse. I'm really proud of her. And there's so many stories like that.
It's fantastic. It's brilliant. How do you incorporate nature and its healing properties into your events?
Wow. It's hard not to, because we are in nature. So when the kids come, we used to put on loads of workshops for kids. And I would find that half of the time the workshops wouldn't be full, because the kids would just literally be off playing in the woods, climbing trees, finding sticks.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we have forgotten that, well, sometimes kids don't remember they have an imagination because everything's on there in front of them. So for kids to go off and play and climb trees, we had, between buying the house and moving in, one of the huge Scots pines fell over. So that's everyone's favourite tree because they go and climb it. There's it fold over, so there was like a cave underneath the roots. And we've got pictures of adults climbing it and going all the way to the top and stuff. That's like the favourite tree. But we've put swings up, like rope swings. We've got a huge play area that we managed to get that we've put up. And they just go off and play. So we don't have as many children's workshops, because I would much rather that the kids know they can go off and play. It's all enclosed. They can't go off onto a main road. They're not going to be in any danger. But they'll go off and they will. And this sounds crazy, but the land loves it. The land wants that connection, and there's no brighter energy and spirit than a young child's. So it provides that space for the kids to go and explore and to dig things. And
just, I think the human body needs the earth and the environment and everything else more so. And I mean, I love getting outdoors, especially if I'm on the bike. But I think it's in our DNA, because ideally, we're not really meant to be cooped up inside a house. God, no. We're not meant to be, you know, we're meant to be outside most of the time, with sunlight, or even if it's dark, we're meant to be outside. And cold air has a lot of pluses, a lot of benefits, as well as heat as well. And, you know, just being outside. And I think I was talking to someone a few shows ago about, you know, they were telling me how, you know, just touching the tree or the leaves or whatever connects you back with the environment. Apparently it does something mentally to you and emotionally. So I think it's crucial for us as humans to be outside as much as possible.
When we do workshops, because we do them in a bell tent, so when we do sound baths and things, if you think that we are on a mountain that has quartz running through it, so when we do those sound baths, the energy and the frequency, because we're with the land, that is so much more powerful. And we have workshops like, there's an amazing lady who comes sometimes and does workshops called Helene Sue. And she does Dancing with Tree workshops. And we do kind of ecstatic dance and transformational dance just on the fields. And there's not many places where you can do that now, because it's all in a community centre. And then that's bricks and mortar and concrete under the floor and stuff. We've done we go to a healing circle with our amazing friend Mark Oriel. And he had, because it was a bit cold, he came out of his roundhouse and he was in the community centre. And the difference when we were doing shamanic journeying and stuff, from being in a bricks and mortar concrete building to actually being on the land, is noticeable. So we've gone back. But people don't realise that. And people don't realise how it's not good for us to stay in a central heated home and not have fresh air coming in.
Terrible. It's not good at all. It's really bad. We should actually, as humans, be experiencing more. I know it sounds, when you say it, it doesn't sound right. You know, oh, we should be outside all the time as much as possible, in the cold air and all that. But our bodies really need it. And apparently it's good for inflammation, good for the respiratory system. There's a number of benefits to being in that cold air. And heat has its own benefits as well, you know, detoxing, heat for the body, etc., and all the rest of it. But we're not meant to be inside the house, especially with the blockage of light as well. So, you know.
I would like to live in a yurt.
In a what?
I would like to live in a yurt in the middle of one of our fields, because you could just literally have the fire, go to bed, get up, sit outside, and you would be in all of that nature. My husband likes big house. So I'm like, in the summer, can't we do that? He's like, no. And like, we have to have concrete drive, because otherwise we'd be in mud and stuff like that. But I really would like to be a woman of the woods and just live in a little chalet, a little hut.
It could be an extension of the house.
Yeah, just all the way down the bottom.
I see the garden, or just being outside, an extension of the property of the building it's on. That's the way I see it, to be honest with you. You know, just getting outdoors is, well, we have to finish soon, but the point is that even for myself, I love getting outdoors. I try and spend as much time outdoors as possible. Because of work, obviously, it's not always possible, but to be outdoors is magic. You know, you've got the sunlight, and even if it's getting dark, you've got the nice cold air. And, you know, if you go, especially so where you are, must be unbelievable. You know, the scenery, that you've got the 25 acres and beyond that, and yeah, the mountains and everything. It must be something else, you know.
Where you should come to one of ours.
I know. Do you know what? I was going to ask you about this afterwards. But anyway, where can people where can people find your services? If they want to find out more about you, they want to come along to your events. What, tell us about that.
So one of our amazing supporters saw my poor website and took immediate pity on me and created the most amazing website. So I can tell people with pride to go to communitygatherings.uk and have a look at our beautiful website that Chris has created for us. You can find lots of information on that. I'm a Facebook mum. That's what my kids tell me. I'm on Facebook, all over Facebook. So Kathy L. Sanderson, you can find me and everything I do on there. And we also have a Facebook group, which is the Community Camping and Healing Gatherings.
Brilliant. Kathy, thanks for today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I've loved it.
And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.